Good evening, everyone. I declare the council meeting open. We begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. I'll let everyone know in the gallery that the audio of this general council meeting will be recorded, will be made available on the City of Marion website. I ask elected members if anyone foresees a potential conflict of interest with any item on the agenda. Councillor Schilling?
I see a potential conflict of interest with the ALGA motion, as I intend to nominate to go to ALGA.
Yeah, I think that would be one, so you might want to leave the room at the appropriate time. Thank you. Anyone else? Then we can proceed. Would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the last meeting? Moved. Councillor Schilling, seconded. Councillor Masika. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we go to an adjourned item, page 29 of the minutes. So members will note that we have a bit more information provided since last time, including clarification of use of the indoor courts, which is available for all sports. Councillor Telfer to move.
I'll move that we do put a second multi-use exterior court with lights at Mitchell Park. This would, in February 2022, be built at an additional cost of $175,000. Which doesn't fit within the project as it currently stands. The reason for doing this is because in 2009, both the Mitchell Park Netball and the Mitchell Park Tennis Clubs left the site because their four courts were so degraded.
Councillor Telfer, I am sorry to interrupt you, but just to clarify your motion, the way you expressed it verbally varied slightly from the recommendation that was printed. Are you happy with what's actually printed on the page there? It is consistent with what you were saying. It adds a source for the funding as well. Just checking.
I believe the motion's the same, but the notes, the report is different.
Yes, that's right. I just want to make sure you were happy with that. No, please continue.
And so since then, over 13 years until the construction will be finished, these two groups have waited, expecting in 2013 to have 4 to 6 exterior courts as per their master plan. But with the indoor courts coming and the lack of women's change room, they're pushed out. In 2018, Ms. Wilcox filled out the questionnaire that said that there was a great need for more, but she didn't say two courts. With the exterior courts, members want to come back to their home, and the important thing is that they're not keen to use the interior courts, because they are people that practice and use outdoor, and there is a cost difference as well. So there's a community need, and the other thing is that now with the plans turned around so that the front entrance of the new plan will be to the west, then the car park at the annex at Moreland Avenue will be most useful. So I recommend that we go ahead and put that second court in.
Thank you. Now, because I did interrupt you, give you a chance to just expand on one point, and it's particularly in terms of indoor use of the indoor stadium. You did mention reasons. Is there anything more you can or wish to say on that point?
On another point, I just really need to say that the second netball tennis court is justified. It fulfills community needs. And the other thing is that if this second court is built 2 years later, then instead of it costing $175,000, it's extra $100,000 because the building it while you're building one court, it has a scale that's advantageous to us. So it would be a waste to leave it a couple of years, find there's a need, and pay another $100,000. So I recommend to council that they look at this quite seriously.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson, wish to speak? Is anyone speaking in opposition or question? Councillor Hull?
Procedural question. If this is an adjourned item, normally there would have been a mover and seconder last time this was brought to council. So I'm just wondering why we're following proper meeting procedures.
Through the chair, there was no mover and seconder at the meeting. The procedural motion to adjourn it was the first thing that actually happened.
So Councillor Telfer moved to defer a motion straight up. Is that what happened?
It was moved
by another member. As soon as the item was called on, it was called to be adjourned.
Okay.
Anyone speaking against? Question, Councillor Hull.
Can I, through the chair, can the mover indicate to me that this motion will be the end of this and there won't be any further motions to put any additional courts on the site, whether they be indoor or outdoor? I just want to know, you know, whether this is the fulfilment of the mover's expectations of infrastructure on the site, or is there something else we need to know?
Councillor Telfer, I'll let you answer that one straight away. Thanks.
This has nothing to do with me. This is my community that have vocally spoke to you a fortnight ago saying we have two indoor courts, we plea for second multi-use exterior court. That is what fits on the site with the car parking across the road.
Councillor Hutchinson. Sorry, Councillor Crossland.
A point of order, Mr. Mayor. I don't think I
point
got
of an order, Councillor Hull.
I don't think I got an answer to my question.
Well, you will be satisfied or dissatisfied with what you've heard, and that be an end of it. You've spoken in the debate. I gave Councillor Telfer an opportunity to answer. She may, if she wishes, in closing the debate, add more information. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. It's a question for staff. I notice in Southern Hills Ward, the four netball courts there are being used by about 550 members. I'm trying to work out how we need two courts for 20 people. I'm wondering what formula we've used there.
So what can we say about the demonstrated need? Mr. Haridis.
Through the chair, as some of the team come that will also be able to add to this question. And in addressing the motion, the information currently provided within the reports to you is just identifying what is currently scoped. There hasn't been a formal determination based on the current numbers which have been provided, I think 40 and 20 respectively, from the netball and tennis clubs that are looking to utilise the outdoor courts are in and of themselves drivers. We also haven't been able to determine in anticipation of this discussion what their likely growth patterns would be. In that respect, there hasn't been a predetermination to suggest that they are on a path, either of the clubs, to grow to a certain number, which at this current point in time validates the immediate need for an additional outdoor court.
Thank you. We'll go to Mr. O'Hanlon for any additional information. I'll just mention, as far as I'm aware, the best evidence we have is from the Tennis and Netball Review, which is a few years old, but it did look at every club and every court in the city. Mr. O'Hanlon.
There's no further comment. What Ilya stated was true in fact.
Yes, Councillor Crossan.
Yeah, a couple of other questions. So the other one is, I notice in the report it made a particular mention of 12 tennis courts or courts available in Holfast Bay. Was that put in there to in some way show that there is availability of courts to Mitchell Park?
Through the chair, no, as part of
We've got no rugby facilities here in the city of Marion, but we do have extensive rugby facilities and bordering in Mitcham and Sturt. So as such, we're just basically providing that information as a reference that there is facilities available.
And obviously, you only mentioned Cold Plus Bay, but Mitchell Park's probably as close to Mitcham. Are there no ports in Mitcham at all? There was zero mention of that.
Yeah, through the chair again.
The city of Holdfast Bay has a low usage of tennis courts, which is unusual for the against the other surrounding councils. Mitcham is very, very highly utilised. Same with Sturt. Holdfast is in a little bit of an anomaly where they do actually have vacant tennis courts available for use by external groups.
One more question: if council resolved to limit the courts to one, which is the current sort of design, what's the alternative use of the space that would otherwise be a tennis court? Would it be parking? Would it be trees or what?
Through the chair and in line with the attachment where we showed where an adjoining court could be, car parking is what is in the current scope of the $15 million redevelopment.
Thank you. Any other questions or Councillor Hull, you've spoken in the debate, but I'll give you grant you a question. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, I didn't speak in favour or against anything. I haven't spoken at all. I've asked maybe two questions.
All right. We'll take them as questions, so carry on.
Can I direct the last question I asked, because I didn't get an answer to the first one, to the administration as to whether this is on top of any other additional claims for indoor or outdoor facilities on the site. I just want to know what I'm voting on tonight. Is this the package or is it part of the package? I think it's fair that I know that.
Are we aware of any additional demand from the club?
Thank you, Chair. We're not aware of any other demand from any avenue to put more facilities on that site.
So, Councillor Hull, any other questions? If there are no more questions or speaking, Councillor Telfer, do you wish to make any final remarks?
In a fortnight, the 30% footprint will come to Council for decision. It is important and unfortunate that it's a fortnight later that this decision on the footprint of this court is decided so that the 30% can move forward to become 70%. It's important also to realise that even though there is a netball team that's playing at Morfitt Vale, they want to train juniors, which they can't do at Morfitt Vale because of distance, families prepared to travel. There are tennis players, and all the time at those worn-out courts there are community people. So I recommend this to you. It's worth doing now as part of the build. We could have come with it added in and just said we've overrun by 175,000, but we've come in all honesty and said this is an extra. Can you look at it? It's worth supporting.
Is that a point of order from Councillor Crossland?
I'm just waiting till we get to the debate with people speaking for and against, because we've questions.
That's happened, Councillor Crossland. I did offer for people to speak in the debate, so we've gone past that. To be honest, we're about to vote. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. So, apologies, Councillor Crossland. I thought I'd put the offer out there clearly enough. So now we go to, deputations. I'll just make the point that I had a request from the Australia Day Council for a deputation. I granted a deputation request for this evening. Subsequently, I had requests for the matter to be deferred. So I said, well, the matter probably will be reached tonight. There's room on the agenda. But I don't think anyone from Australia Day Council is in attendance in the gallery, so there's no deputation. All right, we'll press on. Would someone like to move confirmation of the committee minutes, and they could be moved on block two sets of minutes, the Urban Planning Committee and the Finance and Audit Committee. Moved Councillor Schilling on block, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. And now we have several confidential items to address. So members of the public, excuse us, but we probably will be half an hour behind closed doors. Feel free to come back if you wish. Otherwise, thank you for coming and hope you found it of interest. Councillors, I know it seems it's a trivial matter in the scheme of things when we're talking about a wonderful new facility, but we do have to get it right, and I think there is some controversy about it. So if somebody would like to move suspension of standing orders, we can actually just resolve this once and for all. Moved Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Duncan. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So look, just in terms of our... Let us just deal with our internal naming of this facility. We can always come back at a later time to have an official name for the facility. You know, maybe name it after some famous soccer player or ex-mayor or something. Anyway, but for the moment, there are two issues, actually. I mean, we can completely understand why Football Federation would have called it a Southern Football Facility. But there are actually two aspects of that. One is the fact that most Australians call it soccer. Most soccer players around the world call it football. But not everyone around the world, it might be said. The only cause for concern, really, is that in Australia, footy or even football, for many people, means Australian rules. But I completely acknowledge that for many people, football means what other Australians call soccer. So I'm just trying to kind of summarise both sides of the debate. But the other aspect of this is that when you're sitting in Hindmarsh Stadium, this is a southern facility. But do we call it that? And I'm just raising the question, is it the Cove facility? Is it the, what is it? Is it the Marion facility? Is it Shota Park? Is it the Majors Road facility? I don't know. I'm open to suggestion on that. Councillor Hull, what do you have to say?
Is it at all possible to think outside the square with this?
Go ahead.
To consider sponsorship naming. Like in Melbourne, Etihad Stadium is not Etihad Stadium anymore. It's Marvel. And obviously there's some return on that naming right. And I think we need some money for this stadium. So why don't we at least explore that?
What I was saying to begin with was that at the moment let's have something for our internal use. Subsequently, there may be some official new name of the facility to put the sign up out the front, so to speak. So that question of sponsorship might be down the track, but for the moment, I'm just after an unambiguous name for the thing. But I'm interested in members' views. Councillor Crossland, then Councillor Valescu.
So I'd want to know, obviously this has been brought up some days ago, so what's the Football Federation say about the name, and what does Cove Football Club say about the name?
Herides.
Through the chair, the football, now called Football South Australia, former Football Federation South Australia, and their whole governing body up through to FIFA hold the view to use the term football as their primary preference. That said, and there was some content along these lines distributed to members offline, they do accept that clubs, particularly in Australia and across South Australia, and we provided some names of local clubs in the southern region, do use a mix of local area football club or local area soccer club. So they are amenable to considerations where appropriate, despite the fact their first preference is for the use of football. Similarly, the Cove Football Club, bracket soccer, for this evening's conversation, does hold a preference again to be known as a football club, in the traditional sense of the term from their perspective. However, I do understand for other reasons are currently exploring consideration of the term soccer club as part of the definition of, or as part of their name.
Councillor Crossland, yep.
So sorry, so the Football Federation don't care what we call it and the Cove Football Club don't care what we call it. Is that what you're saying?
Bottom line, yes.
Councillor Vlescu.
I think we should look at something like the Majors Road Soccer Facility or the, you know, something like that, pretty clear, if that's what we're going to be calling it internally. That's just my view.
Councillor Gard.
I feel like we could probably create a bit of equity here. There is a sensitivity as far as southern football is concerned at large, and we don't have to expand on that tonight again. And so to be exact as to what we mean, I think is important in all seriousness. So to me, an equitable way of putting or way of adopting terminology would be to say, okay, well, when we're referring to Aussie rules, football is the common name. So football in brackets Aussie rules, football in brackets soccer. There can be no criticism that we're taking line or however we might be criticised. So I just see that as clear, concise and unchallengeable in the sense of it being neutral.
So Schilling.
Can I just say we're debating about an internal document? We're not talking about the name of the facility. We're just talking about a title for a document that comes in our council reports. Like, Southern Soccer Facility, I think, is fine.
It's only because it's a sensitive issue. I'm spending a bit of time on it once only. But can we just have a show of hands then, a straw poll? Who would suggest football in the name for this internal document? Football, put your hand up. Soccer, put your hand up. All right. People happy with Southern? All right. So that's just a note to staff. Resume standing orders and away we go. So. Would someone like to move accordingly? The motion not as printed. Not Councillor? All right, Councillor Schilling. Councillor Duncan. Any others? Councillor Hull?
Can administration start working on a suitable management model for the site once it's built?
Mr. Huridas?
Through the chair, we are currently looking at the leasing and management structures through the process as it currently stands.
Okay, thank you. I suppose I have got one question that's been troubling me. I mentioned this to Mr. Scull the other day, but we're commonly, without even looking at the report, when people have been talking about clubhouses in the council area, they talk about Ostco huts and football prefabricated huts and that sort of thing with change rooms, kitchen, whatever. And it's commonly bandied, figures are bandied about $1.5 million, $2 million or something like that. It just occurred to me, for $1.5 million, what sort of a home could you build? I mean, it would be probably the most luxurious three-storey double brick home in the city of Marion. And how can we not build a basic little rectangular clubhouse with a dunny and a kitchen for less than $1.5 million? I don't understand that. And yet all of these experts come along and say, oh yeah, you know, that all adds up, that's fine. Who can give me an answer on that one? Mr. Salmon. Thank you. Why is it so?
Through the chair, it's a good question. It comes down to the size of the building. It's a considerably larger building than a house. The finishes are made to last much longer than in a residential build. You've got commercial kitchens are much more expensive than a standard home kitchen. You've got a lot of wet areas, a lot of shower space, a lot of toilets, a lot of tiling. It's a combination of factors, but that is the rate that exists in the marketplace. We've looked at existing facilities that have been built at a similar scale.
Thank you. So, Councillor Crossland.
When you compare it to a playground that costs nearly $1 million, it's actually good value.
And there's a few of those around, aren't there? If there aren't any others, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously, thank you. Page 106, BMX. At least that name is unambiguous. Councillor Crossland to move.
I'll move as printed, thank you.
Is that seconded? Councillor Duncan. Just before we go on, members know that I've raised the issue with the Finance and Audit Committee. I've got this great report from these experts, BRM Advisory, and you know, I was strongly critical of a number of points, including the notion, it's there on page 134 of our agenda, the estimated expenditure per visitor of the new site be $106 based on domestic day visitors. So they're not even international. They're just people pulling up with their trailer, getting the bike off the back, having an afternoon of fun, and getting back on the trailer and driving home. $106, I really wonder why there isn't a decimal point after the 10, because I could believe $10.60, the family's gonna buy a couple of drinks and a hot dog from the canteen, but how could it be $106 a day? Isn't this fantasy? Who can answer that? Mr. Salmon.
Through the chair, this information has come from REMPLAN, which is a service that council subscribes to that has data that they collect from the economy and then use it to make projections such as this. The description below that table in the report says that this is the estimated expenditure per visitor of $106 on a domestic day within the Southern Adelaide region. So it's very generic data. It doesn't claim to be more than that, and using our own knowledge, we could probably say that might not be realistic for a BMX facility, but that's the best data that we have for the southern, what a day visitor would spend in the southern region, and that's the data that REMPLAN has used to make that projection.
Okay. Any other speakers or questions? Councillor Valescu?
I've got a question in regards to the... There were currently some larger events at the current facility, so what's going to be the net extra increase in economic benefit based on the baseline of the events that we've had now? Is that something that can be outlined?
Mr. Salmon?
Through the chair, I can't I probably need to go through the report a bit more to answer that specific question around what's more than now. I think it was pointed out that the existing facility held the Nationals recently. What the new facility does is it'd now be the premier track in Adelaide by quite some distance. It's the only track that's up to an international standard. So you'd hope that it would essentially guarantee us, if not give us the Nationals when they're in South Australia most of the time, if not every time. I don't want to overpromise, but it'd clearly be recognised as the best track in Adelaide. You'd hope that we'd have the Nationals pretty consistently there.
To help you, Councillor Valescu, again on page 134, there's a table with the estimated growth in visitation. So you see there's a line there for National Championship Series, an extra 4,500 visitors. So times by 100, that's about nearly $500,000 that'll bring in. Well, that's already happening. So that's what they're already having down there. But the experts have listed that as an additional item.
So why aren't the national championships included in existing events?
Well, it bumps up the numbers. Fair go. Sorry, Mr. Salmon, I don't. What, anything to add on that?
No, all I can say is that we'd likely hold them more regularly than this is the recent holding of that event was the first time it's ever been held.
But the report, we've had the event, and the report is basically should have at least some national component in existing events because we've already had it. Obviously, Mr. Salmon, you haven't done the report, but these people that did it have not included it. So it looks like the extra benefit is higher than it is. And I'm not objecting with the project, I'm just objecting to rubbery, questionable data.
Yeah, I don't think any more can be added.
Okay.
Any more than they've already added. Councillor Hull is standing.
Yes, within the remit of my meeting procedures, I can stand if I wish.
Yes, of course.
That way you can actually stand.
I'm not objecting. Well, no, you were next on the list, and Councillor Crossan's after you. You can stand or sit.
I'm going to use exactly the same amendment I wish to move on the previous.
Point four, that Council seek expressions of interest for naming rights for the facility, which could have been done on the last one as well if you'd seen me.
We haven't moved anything yet. We can get
out. Yeah, well, that's the trouble. There's no mover and seconder up there that you could see. So
I know that the track itself has been named. Is that something you want to replace, Councillor Hull?
Well, if there is a generous person out there or organisation that wants to seek naming rights, then why wouldn't we look at it?
All right, if you...
Well, I don't know whether
you're moving an amendment. Put forward the amendment. You want to amend the name of the Sam Willoughby track. Have you got that in writing, Councillor? Yep, that's great. Could somebody please bring it up to the front? You have 2 minutes to speak to it if you wish, Councillor Hull.
Nobody bragged there back there. It hasn't even been built yet. Southwest BMX.
Yes, Councillor Schilling.
My understanding is the track was already named. Is that correct?
It's the Sam Willoughby track. Well, what do you have a full name for that, Mr. Haridis?
That is correct. The Sam Willoughby International BMX track.
That's the full name. So,
it can be added.
I'll entertain a motion to rename it if that's what Councillor Hull wishes.
No, well, Mr. Mayor, just to clarify, McDonald's, whoever wants to put forward.
Okay, well, that's the amendment. I've given you the opportunity to speak to the amendment. Do you wish to say any more?
Well, if the mover and seconder would be happy to take this on board, I'd welcome that as well. But basically, this is in addition to Sam Willoughby, so it could be Sam Willoughby Metro Homes or Sam Willoughby whoever. It's a way of seeking. Sam Willoughby, I don't think, has got money to throw at this. There's no expectation on Sam Willoughby to put money into it. But we should be in the business of attracting corporate sponsorship, something we've been talking about here since the 1990s. In fact, we did a couple of projects once to that effect to build shelters in reserves. But I think this should be a practice, like it should have been the case with the previous motion, to explore that, to generate a bit of income, as long as the donor has got appropriate integrity. We don't want to be advertising something that is unsavoury. But I just think that we should explore it at this point. This is launch time, and this is the opportunity from a marketing point of view, Councillor Gard, that we should be seizing. We should be seizing the opportunity to see if there's anybody out there willing to actually acknowledge what a great project we're putting forward and put their name to it.
Mr. Huidas.
Through the Chair, if I could just offer some insights on naming rights of venues across the country. And you'll note, as a local example, Adelaide Oval doesn't carry naming rights. And the Santos Athletics Centre has been unable to attract further naming rights and therefore is stuck with the ongoing benefit of that venue still being tagged as the Santos SA Athletics Stadium, even though they no longer pay for those naming rights. So they have the enduring benefit in the absence of others. I would perhaps suggest that rather than expressions of interest, we just assess the viability, given that a lot of entities out in the marketplace are more interested in the membership, the community gain, and groups like NAB and CBA actually look to promote AusKick and programs and access to those databases rather than naming a venue. The other consideration that I'd put, again, in the investigations that the administration could undertake is how we want assets within the City of Marion identified and set some parameters before we go out with an expression of interest that is solely around looking at naming rights, perhaps looking at revenue opportunities more broadly.
I don't see the mover and seconder accepting that, so it is an amendment. Our procedure is, I therefore ask if there is a seconder to the amendment. Seconded by Councillor Gard. The vote is put immediately. All those in favour of the amendment? All those against? That's negatived. I was looking at your hand very carefully, Councillor Masika. That was a negative, wasn't it? Okay. Everyone does have to vote, by the way. So, the amendment being negatived, I'll accept a speaker from either side of the debate. If Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Worship. I haven't spoken. Look, this is just straightforward. As far as the naming rights are concerned, I don't think we've explored it with the people who provided the grant funding. It was in the documentation. So out of respect, I think we should just leave that alone for the time being. But I know that staff will look at possible assessment of maybe naming rights down the track without putting it in this motion. The other question raised by Councillor Valescu is the income from this facility will be double. That's because we're also going to get the Nationals when Happy Valley have their tournaments there as well. So instead of having one club, which is Cove BMX, this site's going to be used by two clubs. And the way BMX works is each club gets the opportunity of Nationals each year, so we get two chances at that site. But as was already mentioned, we'll probably get it more often anyway. But yeah, I'd put the motion as is for those reasons.
Thank you for that additional information. And I note that, I mean, this will still be coming back to council a number of times as design and build progresses. Did the mover wish to say anything in reply? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Carried unanimously. Carried unanimously. Thank you. So we race up to page 162, the Australian Local Government Association National General Assembly call for notices of motions. I believe there is one. So I just wonder if we should just separate this from delegate business. So if we look at paragraphs 1 to 3, and we've got the motion there suggested by Councillor Schilling, so if we just leave that, we'll come back to the question of delegate. But Councillor Schilling, would you like to move accordingly? And you have 2 minutes to speak to it.
Members, I think it's pretty simple. We've discussed it many times in forums, in different things like that. I know we went to the LGA AGM or general meeting with a similar motion and it was failed, but I think going to the National General Assembly with something like this could actually gain more support than just at a state level, because the Eastern Councils are bigger. And there are more of them, and I think there would be more appetite from eastern states than what there is from here. So that is part of the reason why I've put that motion. But to me, it also just makes a lot of sense and creates a lot more efficiencies in our sector on a whole. And we've discussed it before, and I agree with that motion there, and that's the reason why I've put it forward.
Is that seconded, Councillor Duncan? Thank you. Did you wish to speak? Anyone speaking against or questions? Councillor Crossland, then Councillor Blescu.
Okay, I'd like to know if from Mr. Skull, first of all, how many councils he believe will be in favour of this, and just the possibility of any one single council supporting it based on the fact we got zero last time.
Through your worship, we're talking about South Australia because on a national scale, I wouldn't have a clue. In South Australia, there wouldn't be many, but I couldn't guess. There may be half a dozen out of these 68 councils. I'm not hearing a lot of support from my fellow CEOs. I'm not sure about the elected members about doing this, and the LGA had similar issues. So I wouldn't see there'd be a lot of support in South Australia from the CEOs.
Councillor Crossland.
Yep. So if we've got no support from councils, how about the unions?
The unions have actually said that in principle, this is during the Productivity Commission debates, that in principle they would support this, and that's the public view that they have. The amalgamation of councils to do an EBs together.
It's funny, that's not what I heard. Anyway, Councillor Bilescu.
In South Australia, it's pretty clear we've got the two unions effectively representing the workforce. In other states, are there more than one union? Are there multiple unions representing the same workforce, and would that be an issue as far as an agreement goes?
Through the chair, the major unions at ASU and AWU across the country. Some councils have unions who are involved in aged care. For example, there's an aged care union that works in Holfast Bay with their nursing home. But the inside and outside workforces are represented nationally by the AWU and ASU.
Councillor, other questions? Then Councillor Blescu, yes?
How do you deal with the different rates of pay that the different councils pay? I know this is trying to avoid it, but what happens with that? How does that work?
There's a league table in South Australia of the highest paid right down to the lowest paid. We know who the highest paid are. If you're interested in the Marion numbers, we're sitting about 8th, 9th for both unions. The only way that you can do this is to have a common EB with different pay scales in the back of the EB for the different councils, and it's the only way you can get this through.
But it is commonly done where you've got mergers and or unions combining awards or whatever, yeah, to have people have a catch-up period, yeah, where the top scale stays still until everyone catches up to a common point. So, Mr. Skull, you were saying 8th or 9th out of the 68 councils in South Australia?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, other questions? Councillor Gard?
Is it possible to put a question, Your Worship, on a different proposition as a motion?
It would have to be relevant to what Councillor Schilling has moved.
Okay, no, it's I was thinking of a second bracket of a motion.
You have another idea for a motion to go to ALGA?
Possibly, subject to a question I'd want to ask.
Look, I'll take the question at this point, but if you haven't got the motion written out already, it may not be a good idea.
Yep. I might have to try and rustle something up. The general question for management was, is there room or need for a cell within local government stimulated at the national level for national crisis or emergency? In other words, are we aware of the role local government would need to play in the event of such a happening?
I think there's been a lot of work done recently on coordination of disaster management at local government level. Mr. Scull?
Thank you, Chair. The Mayor is absolutely right. We're quite sophisticated in South Australia with regard to that. We have regular debriefs and exercises so that our response, you know, coordinated. The orchestra is conducted by the LGA, who've got people dedicated to the task, and they work with the police and all of the other agencies to make sure that, you know, in the case of an emergency, things are coordinated, and local government, who's got staff and equipment, can play their role, and of course we're on the ground. Yep.
You've worked out scenarios on a large scale across councils, haven't you? I think, what have you had, flood, earthquake?
We've had cyber attacks, which is very timely at the moment with the situation on Kapuringa recently. Floods, earthquakes,
terrorism.
There's others planned.
Maybe virus might be a good one for the next one. Anyway, I'll answer that question. Councillor Hull, do you have a question?
Mr. Mayor, I wasn't aware an enterprise bargaining agreement was a disaster.
I'll just take that as a
joke. Maybe the last
joke.
One was.
Are there any other contributors to the debate? Then I don't think you need to respond. Councillor Schilling's happy with that. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, carried unanimously. Now we turn. Now I don't believe there are any other motions. So. Nominating councillors as a delegate. I've had one councillor who's expressed interest. Are there any others? Show of hands. No. So only seems to be Councillor Schilling. So perhaps I'll ask Councillor Schilling to leave the room. Well, it's up to him. I'll leave it to any councillor who wishes to move accordingly. Councillor Duncan, wish to speak to that?
I think this is a really valuable thing for any member, elected member, going to the Canberra to do. You talk to everybody nationwide. It will not only help the council and all the rest of the elected members and the community, but also have a face and a statement in the national arena as well.
Thank you. Councillor Hull?
You're
seconding?
I'll support this. Mr. Mayor, Councillor Duncan makes a good point. Very early in my council career, I had the opportunity to go to Canberra for a week to do a local government course. I don't think they do those anymore. But it actually does expose you to councillors from all over the place, variety of ideas. It may be that Councillor Schilling might come back a climate change convert. You know, who knows? Like, you know, I can only hope. But, you know, the more enlightened councillor can be, the better. But I'll close on this point, that I hope that if Councillor Schilling is successful and goes, that the actual delegation will not be interrupted by the coronavirus, because it's going to be in the middle of winter in Canberra. So that's one point. The other point is that I hope that at the next election there will be no incriminations by anybody around this circle or out the front about him going, about the cost, itemised cost being put out there as being some sort of scandal. I hope that doesn't happen, Mr. Mayor. I really do, because I really think that this council is being pinned down by this culture that if you go away, you'll be exposed for spending ratepayers' money inappropriately somehow. And I think we're being dumbed down because of that. And I hope you all support Councillor Schilling to go along there and maybe impart our expressions about this particular motion that we just dealt with, but also that he'll come back and enlighten us more about what's happening around Australia.
Councillor Clancy.
Will a staff member accompany Matthew?
Mr. Scull.
Thank you, Chair. I talked to the Mayor about the agenda on the ALGA conference, and I indicated that I'd like to go as well. I think it's right on the money for the sort of things that are keeping me awake at night, and also probably you as well. Waste, dealing with disasters and issues, and the economic issues that are across all of us at the moment.
Well, you can chaperone each other. Excellent. Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, I will ask the questions. I asked in email, I got no reply, so it's partly answered. So what is the cost? Who else is going? And we have sent people before. I personally never got any feedback of any good news stories. So maybe if Mr. Scull can give us some good news information that comes out of these visits.
The cost is $2,397 predicted. It depends on the cost of airfares, of course, and the accommodation that we choose. I certainly would come back and give a briefing, and I'm sure Mr. Councillor Schilling would as well, about lessons learnt from the 3 days.
You can probably get a good deal if you batch together. But any other staff members going, as far as we know? All right. Councillor Crossland?
Sorry, my question was just to give me a summary of all the great things that we learn and have implemented from previous years.
Ms. McKenzie?
We have to take it on notice about the detail. However, the member that attended last time did make a report to council. So that is on the public record. We can certainly pull that out and see where we've gone from there.
I think there are extensive minutes provided as well.
But I'm trying to find out what, as a result, did the City of Marion implement and what was the benefit?
Question on notice, perhaps?
Did email it.
Well, now it'll be recorded and the question's on notice register. If there aren't any other speakers, it's for Councillor Duncan to close the debate.
Just before we close the argument, Just for information, I actually remember sitting in the gallery and heard the report from the last visit. So I know it was actually given. Yes.
Councillor Duncan, that's all right, please carry on.
I think Councillor Schilling would be ideal for this, but to go for this, go to Canberra. And I think everybody will benefit as a result.
I'll put the motion, all those in favour. All those against, carried. So please invite Councillor Schilling to come back in. We're on page 179 now.